And we thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. We thank you for your steadfast love that endures forever. And that we realize that steadfast love in Jesus and in the miracle of the resurrection. And so we come to put our attention fully on you, to listen to you speak to us, to speak to you in prayer, to celebrate who you are and all that you do. Amen. As we go through the service, we're going to be looking at different encounters with Christ after the resurrection. And we're going to start off with a reflection and a scripture reading on Mary's encounter with Jesus. And I'm going to invite Emily to come forward and lead us in that.
Good morning. Good morning. There it is. You guys all look great. Now the sun's out, we have to worry about sunburn. So I see some red faces out there. Like Mike said, we're going to be looking at Christ's, when he appears to the first people after he was resurrected. And I wasn't here last week, but I think it's cool that no matter where you were last weekend, we were celebrating Easter, and we were celebrating that he did rise again, but also we were remembering that he went to the cross for our sins. And because he rose again, we have eternal life, and he's our Savior, and he's our salvation, and it's just very exciting that we're into the next weekend, and we just don't forget about it. We carry it in our hearts as we go. And so I'm going to begin by reading from John 20, and it's going to be up on the screen as it is, so you can follow along. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I think it's funny that he mentioned that. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, again, and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place and separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, of course, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand that from Scripture, that Jesus was to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And now we see Mary, who didn't leave. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around toward him and cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended." Now I want to take a minute. I love the Bible for the detail it gives us, but I also think it's funny, certain details it does leave out. And so I want to go back and just add some narration to this scripture to give us just a clearer idea of what's going on. Mary is so overcome with grief. She's standing there. It's been 3 days since she's seen one of her good friends and her teacher. And now she realizes that the tomb is empty and she doesn't even have any place of rest for him, and she doesn't know where she can return to. And there's debates as to why she didn't recognize Jesus when he was standing behind her. But I sometimes think, have you ever been in a season when you're so overcome with grief that you actually don't see what's around you? Whether it's frustration because you don't understand and so then you don't see God in it, or you don't see the people around you. Or maybe when it's grief and behind the tears, you just don't see people around you. I feel like that's where Mary was. And so thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him." She's so eager. And Jesus says, "Mary." And he probably said it in the same way he said when they were having dinner together or when they were walking to Jerusalem. And all it took was him to say her name, and she realized that it was him. And now this is a part where it kind of leaves us like, so what happened? Now I imagine if you haven't seen somebody for 3 days and you think they're dead, you're probably gonna not just, oh, hello, nice to see you. You're probably gonna like run up to him. So let me just narrate this for you. She probably had the skill of a Saskatchewan Rough Rider tackling an Eskimo and just taking Jesus out, okay? Like she is so excited because all Jesus says is, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. She is so happy to see him. So instead, Jesus continues, go to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them all that he had said to her. I pray that this morning we will see Jesus and that he will speak your name and you'll, like he's always spoke it, and you'll come to see him anew today. We're going to go into worship now, and let's not just sing songs. Let's not just hit the right chords. Let's really worship Jesus who meets us where we're at and loves us and died for us. And let's worship like maybe you've never worshiped before. I invite you to close your eyes, to lift your hands, to stand, to kneel, to do whatever it is you need to do, because we are going to be singing quite a lot this morning and praying. And so I just pray that you'd hear him speak your name and that you would see him before you. And so we're going to just worship now. So if you want to stand, you can stand.
For the first verse and the first chorus, if you guys could just close your eyes and listen, and then join us after that, that'd be great. Thank you.
shout your praise. Our hearts will fly, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Blessed be your name.
you can take a seat for a moment. Because Mike already covered the announcements, we're just going to move right into offering now. So if the ushers could come forward, we'll just pray for this morning's offering. All right, will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, you are good and faithful and just. Through your Son and his death on the cross, we have been shown your grace, and you have called us now to show that grace to others, and we pray that amongst one another that we can be gracious with our words and with our deeds. So may we give these offerings out of thanksgiving for what you have done for us. Amen. have a seat.
I'd love to invite the children up to grade 6 who are going downstairs to come forward. And I believe Laura's here to send them on their way this morning.
Come on up, you guys.
Snake.
How are you guys all today? You good?
Good.
I have a few pictures here. Can anyone tell me what this is?
Snake.
A snake. Have you ever seen one?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
I have pictures.
Was it big?
Yeah.
Yeah? No.
It was like that.
It was like this? Okay, there's another one.
Bird.
What kind of bird?
A white bird.
It's called a dove. Well, what does a snake and a dove have to do with our story? Sometimes Jesus took like characters or characteristics from animals and made a parable out of them. And he used it to teach us lessons, okay? So today we're going to find out what lesson we can learn from the snake and the dove. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pray first, and then we'll bless the congregation, okay? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your life, and I thank you that you rose from the dead and we can have life in you. And I just pray that you would bless the kids and the teachers today as we go to Children's Church, and may your Holy Spirit just invade our hearts and our lives and we can learn from you today. And I just pray for the congregation as they remain up here. God, I just pray that your Spirit would be in them and alive, and I thank you, God, that we can cry out to you and give our requests to you and praise to you, and I pray that we would do that wholeheartedly today, and God, just open us up and that we may let go of the things that are holding us back, and that we could just freely worship you, God, whatever that may be. And I thank you that, you are alive and you're so good, and may we just be, glorify you today, God, with what we say and do. Amen. Ready?
As we worship, we're praying. I don't know if we always connect that in our minds when we come here on a Sunday morning, that the words we sing are the prayers of our hearts and of our mind. And so that's been a part of our prayer time so far. I want to continue reading from the book of John, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I'm never quite sure if that would have the effect after Jesus walked through a locked door. But I'm glad he says it. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I'm not sure if it's been every Easter I've been here, I've talked about Thomas the week after. But he always comes to my mind in my devotions and in my reflections every Easter. I feel some sadness for poor Thomas, nicknamed Doubting Thomas. The only reason he's singled out with that is because Jesus addresses Thomas's doubt directly. Doubt's not even the best word. Unbelief would be more accurate. But he wasn't the only one. Mary thought Jesus was a gardener until he addressed her by name. The disciples encountered Jesus earlier than this passage. And we read that that Sunday evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. So Mary, when she was called by name, she saw who it was. The disciples were told once that he'd actually said, "Peace be with you," and showed them the wounds. They acknowledge him. And so Thomas just says what we didn't see anyone else saying, but we're probably thinking, can I believe this is true until I see it for myself? And I don't know if it's doubt or just not sure he wants to get his hopes up. I don't know. What I do know is Thomas sees Jesus. He wants what the other disciples had already received. The confidence, the tangible proof of the resurrection, an encounter with Christ himself. Jesus calls on Thomas to move from unbelief to belief. And he provides the answers that Thomas is looking for. But there's something else. He says to Thomas, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." First, what a blessing that must have been for Thomas to have that privilege to see Jesus. Can you imagine the gift of that? Having that opportunity to have that confidence and assurance of faith. But if Thomas was blessed by that, how much more blessed are we? We believe, and we didn't get to see Jesus in person. We didn't get to touch the wounds. But we're told because of that, and because we still believe, we are blessed. Each and every one of us here who believes is blessed. What an incredible gift. I find that absolutely amazing. And there's still more. There's still more to the blessing. You see, we didn't get to see Jesus in person, but God continues to make himself known to us in our lives. And that's something we can be thankful for. Maybe we don't get to put our hands into the fingers and into the side. Maybe we don't get to have that experience. But God is at work in this world, making himself real to each of us in his way. And that's something we'd be thankful for. And it's something we can also encourage one another with by sharing these stories. And so we're going to take some time this morning to share some God stories, as we call them. We've done this before. If you're visiting, you're welcome to participate. We have a microphone that's right here. And I'm going to sit down right away and invite people to come up and just share a story, a simple story of what God has been doing in your life over the last little bit. Share how God has been making himself real in your life. Share the blessing of that with others here. Now, we may have silence. And generally, anything longer than 30 seconds in silence, people get uncomfortable with. So you may be uncomfortable if there's silence. And that's okay. We invite you to use that silent time, if it's there, for quiet reflection and prayer, to reflect on how God's made himself known in your life. But if there's something on your heart that God's been doing, we invite you to share that. If you're worried about, "I don't know if I'm going to talk too long," I'll keep track. You got a couple minutes. It doesn't have to be long. But I invite you to share the blessings of that. of what God's been doing in your life and to be encouraged as others share. So let's take some time for prayer and sharing.
Good morning. You know, I was sitting there and I was just thinking, well, God's been wonderful in my life just forever and ever. I could talk for hours about the God story of our family. But then I was sitting there and thinking, okay, I don't have anything to share this morning. And then I just thought, well, no, just wait a minute. God cares about even the tiniest little things. And just this last week, we found out that our basement renter was giving notice for the end of May. And that's no big deal. Renters give notice. And then 2 days later, I get a phone call driving into town from a mom in Moss Bank, which is like, who knows where? I had to Google to find out where it is. And her son is coming to town this fall to go to SAS Polytech and needs a place, and heard through a friend of the principal of Carleton that I have a suite. And now I have a renter for fall. And it's just a little thing, but it means so much to me because now I don't have to go through all the hassle of finding a renter. And it really isn't a big deal, which is why I wasn't going to share it. But then I thought, God just cares about all the little things too. So even in the midst of all the amazing blessings that are in my life right now and for the last however many years, I just thought I'd share that little one.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and I've been going to this church for a little while now with my husband, and I just want to go off of that little blessing thing. I have been feeling really discouraged lately, and there's been some hard stuff going on in our family, and it's really easy to get into a feeling of just feeling like you're on the losing side when we've got the creator of the world on our side, which is pretty mind-blowing. So there's no reason for us to feel discouraged like that. And I just, I think I just came to this thought that I'm not really looking for blessings in my life. And I just wanted to encourage you guys that there are blessings being shown to you daily. And we just need to be looking for them. God is showing you stuff. And he's making that evident in your life. And I just felt like I wanted to share that.
Hello. I'm up here because, well, lately, the past 3 years of my life, it hasn't been great at all. In 2012, in July, I had this supper with my father. If I'm shaking, it's just I'm not used to this, but he was just saying how he was just getting life stories, and he was just saying how what he wanted when he died. And then that was the last supper I had with him because on Wednesday, well, I had the supper with him on Monday, and then on Wednesday, My brother always talked to him, always. And he couldn't get a hold of him. And he was out of town, so he sent me to go find out what was going on with him at his house. And, well, he was dead on his chair, massive heart attack. And, well, I repressed the memory hard. And I just blocked it out of my mind, and then it just hit me in February 2013. I just had a massive breakdown, and ever since then, I was never the same. But I guess I kind of turned to God now just for some hope and some clear mind on the situation, so.
God does take care of every detail. For some of you who may or may not know, I went to Africa, I went to Kenya. That's where all the trouble is. And when I hit Paris, my flight to Nairobi had been canceled. And there were about 30 people in the same boat as me. Five of us got shipped off to Dubai. I thought, wow, the richest place in the world, I get to see this. And it was really funny because I kept on getting all these text messages when I hit Dubai. Did you get out of Paris? Are you okay? Did you get out of Paris? Not knowing that that was a day that there had been a shooting and two journalists had been shot, and God had put me on one of the last flights that left Paris, because after that, the airport was shut down. So he took care of all the details when I was on my trip. And he took care of so many things. And, you know, in one of my devotionals I've been reading, it said, God gives you and puts you on top of your mountain to prepare you for the valleys that you are to go through. And even the mission I went with said that, to be prepared. And I have been going through the valley. But last week, I was blessed. The elders prayed with me, anointed me, and I've had a good week, and I haven't had any headaches this week, which is such a blessing. And so God is taking care of me going through the valley too. But you know, you don't appreciate, if you never had the hard times, you would never appreciate those good times. So I'm just thankful that he's with you on the highs, and he's also with you in the low times too. And I will pray for this young man. And you're always in our thoughts.
Hello, my name is Vivian. It's good to be back. My husband and I are snowbirds, and we just returned from Yuma, Arizona, after 3 months. So we didn't quite make it to Kenya, but it was still pretty good. Even though we've been away, we've been busy. God's ministry basically travels with us. And he certainly looked after us while we were traveling. And all the people that we met who had, well, highs and lows and things that we needed to pray for, they were put in our midst. And we became friends with so many people. And we continue to be friends. So even though it seems that it's been a long time that we've been away, it really hasn't. It's been a short time. So we are really blessed by God that he kept us safe, that he looked after us, and he brought us back home and back to our friends, our church family, and to all the other people that are in our lives. So we're very grateful for that. Thank you, Lord.
Hello. This morning I was thinking about coming to church and thinking about who is going to be there. And I was thinking about Josh, and because he's such a good singer, and I was thinking I'll see him. He used to be my student. And Mason used to be my student too. And when I was thinking of Josh, I thought, geez, it'd be nice to see Mason again. And you're here. How cool is that?
Okay, I had no plans of coming up here, but we're talking about blessings and just encouraged. I was just encouraged when I saw that guy come up here. Mason has been my friend since high school, and I know he has been through this, and he's told me everything, and I just praise God for the transformation that I've seen and how he turned to God. Mason, I'm proud to be your friend. Praise the Lord. And it's just so encouraging to have you and just to see what you've been through and how you're accepting it and turning to God is just a blessing. And I can't believe. Thank you for that.
I'm not here for Mason and Josh. My name is Alberto, but I would like to share a blessing that I received yesterday when we were at the provincial jail. And it's a privilege from God that 15 souls surrendered their lives to Christ as their personal savior. And I think it's a privilege for us too if we can have the ability to share the gospel to people, to the lost souls. And also it's a privilege for us to share the gospel through our radio program, although it's in Filipino, but every time we're airing that program, we offer the salvation to all the Filipinos around. Not only in PA, but around Canada, and also through our website, Bible goes around the world. So really, it's a privilege to serve him in that way. So I would like to encourage each one of you to share that, you know, you should have a burden for the souls of the lost. And we are now, as we are going on in our world, I work in the Middle East for almost 15 years, and I own the Quran, actually. It was given to me by a Muslim, Saudi Muslim. And at the back, it was written that they should terminate the Jews, the Christians, and the Hindus. And now they're starting it in Kenya. You know, the students will line up and ask them one by one, are you a Christian or a Muslim? When you say you're a Christian, you'll be separated on the one side and the other side for the Muslims. And then they started to shoot them. So it's the beginning of the prophecy that was written in the Bible. And I know it's very clear that it will happen in the near future. What was written in Amos chapter 8, that he says there that God one day will send famine in this world, but not famine of food or drinks, but the word of God. Because the Muslims, they are now, all these organizations around the world, they're all connected in one source, that is Satan, the Antichrist. So right now, it's before it's too late for us, we should start serving the Lord by sharing the gospel to the people. So I like to give back the glory to God and Savior Jesus Christ.
We've heard some of the blessings and struggles and trials that people have been through, and we know there's other ones as well. So let's just turn to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, you watch out for us. You care for us and you love us. And I'm thankful that in the times of blessings and the times of hurt and burdens, you are faithful and you are there. Lord, we've heard that there are small blessings and big blessings, but there's a way, it's just consistent that you're there working in our lives and walking alongside us. Lord, we also heard that it's pretty consistent that we face tough times, whether we're young or old. That there's going to be times of incredible grief and hurt, of brokenness. But even in that, you are faithful and walk alongside us. And we thank you for those stories. But Lord, we also lift up each person here that is hurting and carrying that burden of grief and heartache, who's carrying the burden of being broken in this world. Lord, provide your hand of comfort. Provide your hand of healing. May your presence be known to each of those individuals in such a special way that they can clearly say, "My God and my Savior, you're there with me." Lord, in a world that's broken, we thank you for the freedom we have to worship you here. What a privilege and what an honor it is to have that freedom to come here. But also there's a complacency that can come with that freedom. And help us be reminded of your call on us to share your word into this world, to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer for their faith around the world, to pray for those who are misguided and are not following you, who don't know the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and he rose again and one day will return. It's not just a story we tell, it is our hope, it is our faith, it is what we believe. And we proclaim that together in song and in words, in just gathering together, we proclaim that our hope is in you. Lord, thank you for the stories that were shared. Thank you for the stories that were not shared, but are held dear in each of our own hearts. Thank you for your provision and your blessing and showing us that you are at work in this world. And thank you for strengthening our faith for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us again and we'll sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord."
Open the Hello. You know, when I've spoken in the past, I like to have a pulpit to hide behind, but this isn't much of a hiding pulpit. I'm going to be reading the next encounter. This will be the third time now that Jesus will appear to his disciples after the resurrection. John chapter 20, verse 30 to 21, verse 6. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. What's really cool about this passage is actually there's a very similar one in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. It's the same thing in that the disciples were fishing all night. By morning, they hadn't caught anything, and you know, Jesus uses Peter's boat to preach to people on the shore, and afterward he says to Peter, take your boat into the deep water, drop the nets, and Peter's resistant and says, Master, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you have said so, we'll do it. And so they drop the nets, and what happens is they catch so many fish, the nets are starting to break, they have to call over another boat, and they together unload all these fish into the two boats, and the two boats are so full that they start to sink. And what's interesting about that and this passage is that account happened just before Jesus called those first disciples to follow him. Right after that, when Jesus performed that miracle, Peter says, Lord, go away from me, I'm a sinful man. And he says, follow me, you'll be fishers of men now. And so what's the connection? Some questions came to mind for me, and there's many things we can look at, but we don't have a lot of time. But one thing I wonder, looking at these two passages, the disciples are fishing again. Is this just, you know, paying the bills, or after the, you know, death of Jesus, you know, how they scattered and they were hiding? Even we read an account earlier, they're hiding inside because of fear of the Jews. Have they kind of... have they lost their purpose? Are they thinking that the call that Jesus gave them to follow him, and you know, maybe they thought it was going to be a different kind of rule. You know, it was going to be Jesus was going to be a political leader or a king that would lead their people to freedom. And now the disciples scattered, and you know, are they going back to their old life of fishing, thinking, you know what, it just wasn't what we thought it was going to be following Jesus. We thought it was going to turn out different. And the miraculous catch of fish here is Jesus doing this in the same way to remind them of their calling. Is when they had this happen, are they going to remember, oh yeah, Jesus did that before, and you know, remind them of their calling in that. There's many things we could look at, but there's just four really simple things that I'd like to point out from this passage, and they can be applied to us as well. One is that the disciples had a great need that they could not meet on their own. Even though they were professional fishermen, they could not catch fish. The second thing is that Jesus was more than able to abundantly meet their needs, and we see that, how that pans out there. The third is that faith is required. The disciples, if they hadn't tossed their net overboard, they wouldn't have caught any fish. So there's a faith requirement there. And the fourth is that it's not just about a miracle. This story isn't just about catching fish. If you look at the context of this, the first two verses we read there, chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, that's actually the theme, that's a summary statement for the whole book of John. John touches on these very same things that he talks about here throughout the book of John. And what it is he says these are written. He's talking about the miracles. These are recorded, even though there's many more, these are recorded that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing in his name have life. And you see that from start to finish in the book of John. The miracles are there to point us to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and that in him is life. And we see that in this story here as well. After they haul in the fish, John, he says, "It is the Lord," and then Peter immediately jumps out of the boat and runs to him. The miracle points to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Very quickly, I just want to share a personal story, but I can't go into details. Sometime, I would really encourage you to ask me how I got the job that I currently have. I work in the health region in the IT department, and I've been there about, I guess, I'm in my fifth year now. And how it came about, in summary, is that 5.5 years ago, right after my wife and I, Melanie, got married, she became very ill with a virus, and so ill that she couldn't work. And I was working a commission-only job, and financially, we were things were pretty tight, and things were pretty scary. And we were on our own strength. Just to be honest, I was freaking out. I was like, "Lord, what are you doing?" And I was looking, well, what should I do? Should I go back to school? You know, and I'm looking at jobs all the time and all in my own strength. I felt like those fishermen at night, fishing all night in their own strength, not able to catch anything. And I won't tell you all the details because it's quite a lengthy story, but the Lord, out of nowhere, dropped a job on my lap and answered so many of the prayer requests that we had. Just like that. And one thing I can tell you, just very recently, 2 weekends ago here, it's so small. You know, earlier we were saying, well, it's just a small thing, but the Lord cares. And this is one of those, Melanie and I were discussing, well, what we should do with our vehicles. My vehicle is getting pretty up there in kilometers, and I'm like, I don't know if it's going to make another year. Well, it probably will, but, you know, there comes a time when you should probably sell it before it's just towable, you know. And we're like, what should we do? And so I started like researching like crazy and looking into vehicles and that, what I should do. And Melanie says, well, maybe we should just pray for direction. And so it was a Sunday night, and we prayed for direction. And the next morning, it was a Monday, I was at my work in IT at 1521 Health Region. And the cleaning guy comes by, and he says, hey, man, how's it going? Is that your car outside, that Honda Accord? He's like, yeah. He's like, well, that's a nice car. I'm like, the Honda Accord? Are you serious? He's like, yeah, I used to have one, but then I totaled it, and now I've got a truck, but I'm selling it this week, and I'm looking for another vehicle. And it was just crazy. I was like, well, I might be selling my car. And then, so I went home that night, and I told Melanie, I said, I think we have the direction that we asked for. And you know, yesterday this gentleman who approached me, he gave me a down payment for my car, and he will be buying it. And the Lord also provided the vehicle that would take its place this last week as well. It's been a crazy week, but that's how the Lord does it, you know. He can just, work such miracles. Now, the reason I share that is just in connection with this is that the miracles aren't the point. Yes, it's awesome to experience that. It's awesome to see the Lord come through for your needs and say, wow, God loves us. This is amazing. And so it's true. Like, that is great. But I think it's bigger than that. In this story, we read that the miracles, you know, and John points that out earlier, the miracles are so that we will believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have life in him. And in our own lives, we have needs. Needs that the Lord can abundantly fill. And like the disciples, it requires a step of faith. They had to toss the net. For us, it has to do with us giving up control. And so often, we can try to do things in our own strength. Like the disciples were fishing all night. And like at one point, I was researching jobs like crazy or researching vans. Like, you know, it's good to do your side or, you know, put some work in. We can't always ask God to just drop miracles and then do nothing. But there's a faith aspect there. We need to give up control. And so I guess what I want to connect to us as before we go into prayer here is that our needs being met are not the point or not an end in themselves as well. What's cool about these stories that I shared with from my own life is that I've had the opportunity to share them with people that don't know the Lord, and they scratch their heads and say, wow, that's quite something. And, you know, some people try to rationalize it. Well, you know, it's cool how everything works out, you know, or all things come together, you know. But the neat thing is it's an opportunity. When we allow the Lord to meet our needs and do miracles in our lives, there's an opportunity for people to see that, and there's an opportunity for us to share that with other people. And hopefully that people would come to know Christ, that they would see him as the Son of God and have life in his name. And going from there, our mission is not any different from the disciples. The disciples were called to make disciples of all nations, and they were also called to meet the needs of the poor, and that's our call as a church as well, and as individuals. And the neat thing about that, whether it's the Lord meeting our own needs in our lives and there being miracles out of that and us being able to share that with other people, or if it's us actively going around and looking for needs in our community, needs in our, you know, our coworkers, our friends, looking for needs that we can meet. All of it is to draw people to the Lord in faith in Jesus Christ, that they would have life both here on earth, life in Christ, and for eternity. We're going to have a time of prayer where we're going to pass the microphone around, and you have the opportunity to even to say one sentence prayer. We'd like to pray for the needs of our community and world. Before we do that, I just want to ask you, are you allowing the Lord to meet the needs in your life, or are you trying to do it on your own? Because you could be missing out on opportunities to see him do miracles in your life, and also opportunities to share those miracles with other people. This is what the Lord has done in my life. And also, a question for us as well is, are we concerned or burdened for the needs of others? Earlier it was mentioned being burdened for souls. And are we looking for opportunities to be involved in his work of drawing others to faith and life in Christ? As we pray, let's pray for burdened hearts and opportunities, as well as the needs of our community and our world. I'm going to open up in prayer, and then if you would like to pray, perhaps just stand and we'll bring the microphone to you. Heavenly Father, we are humbled that you love us the way that you do, and that you desire to meet our needs, that you desire to take care of us. It just humbles me that you love us in the smallest details of life. And Lord, as believers and as a church, we want to glorify you with our lives, and we desire for the world to know you and to see you and do miracles in their lives. Please work in us and through us. Help us to be people that rely fully on you, and that all glory would go to you as we see you do miracle after miracle in our lives. And please burden our hearts as well. Please show us the needs of the people around us. We talk about community or the world around us, and that can be quite vague. Specifically, show us, Lord, in our workplace, with our neighbors, our friends, our family. Please show us needs that we can meet, opportunities to share you with others. We ask now that as we pray for our community and world, that you would just give us the words and the hearts. Break our hearts for the world around us, Lord Jesus, please.
I just wanted to just thank you, Lord, for this day, and I just ask, Lord, that you would just give us just the boldness that we need for each day, and even though there's maybe more persecution in other areas of the world, that you would just give us the strength for even in our workplaces and just our day-to-day experiences and relationships, that you would be there with us, and just give us the boldness to share and make conversations and relate to people and just meet their needs, and that you would just that we'd be able to share and open up to the people around us.
Glory to God. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the blessings you're giving to us, oh God. I ask you, Father God, to touch the hearts of my fellow brothers and sisters here in our church, that we should have burdens for the lost souls, Father God, that we should get out of our comfort zone. It's not enough for us just to sit down and to worship you, Lord, but as we know that the times now is different from the past, oh God, that we are on the very edge of the last days, oh God, and we know that you're coming soon, because most of the prophecies are now happening in the world. So I pray in your name, Lord Jesus, that humble our hearts and open our eyes, O God, that the commandment that you gave us in John chapter 6, you said that I'm giving you a new commandment that we should love one another as you love us, O God, so that the world may know that we are your children or we are your disciples. So give us a new heart, Lord, a heart that is willing to serve you, a heart that is willing to worship you, Father God, a heart that is willing, Lord, to obey you, Father God. So I pray in your name, Lord, continue to touch your people, O God, not only in this church, but all over the world, Father God, that you should have burdens for the soul, especially for your holy word. Lord, I pray personally for the Gideons, Canada. Now, you know that there are some schools in around the city that were shutting their doors for your word, O God. And this has an impact to the society, O God. So please, I pray, and may it be a prayers to my brothers and sisters here in this church to pray for the Gideons that more schools will open their doors for the Bibles as they're shutting it down, O God. Touch the hearts of the principals that they will allow your holy word to be given to the children that needs revival, O God. I pray also, Father God, to bless this church and bless our pastor and each one of us, O God, and continue to unite us in one love, O God, and one faith, and one Lord, and one worship. I like to give you back the glory and honor and praises and ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And this I pray in your name. Amen.
God, we just praise you today. This day has been filled with encouragement and just blessings in the past and the present. And we just praise you that you work in mysterious ways, oh God, and that you're always there in times of need, trouble, good times and bad, Lord. And just thank you for who you are and what you do and what you continue to do in our lives.
I'd just like to thank the Lord for everything that he's given us, all the food, our family and our friends, and a beautiful country for us to live in.
Dear Lord, I just pray for families. I thank you for all the married couples in this church, and I just ask that you would be with us. Help us to love each other like you love us and to learn what it really means to love each other selflessly. And I pray for all the parents in this church and all those of us who are one day going to be parents, that you would be giving us the skills and just the love to raise children in this day and age, in this society, knowing about you and knowing their identity in you and letting that shape our lives and their lives. We thank you for that.
Heavenly Father, we just, there's so many needs around us, and you know that much better than we do. We can see that there are needs around us, and we ask that you would open our eyes to see what you see, and that you would burden our hearts, direct us to the needs that we can be involved in. Lord, there are needs that we cannot be involved in, needs around the world, many things that we don't know about, the persecution and the terrible things that Christians around the world go through that we really don't know anything about because we live in such a blessed country, as the young man here said, that we have such a beautiful country to live in and such freedom, and we thank you for that, and we ask that you'd help us not to take it for granted, but that we'd use it as an opportunity that we can share you with others freely without persecution. But for those, Lord, that are in the midst of that persecution, we ask that you would give them such strength and fill them with your Holy Spirit, that your word and that your name would just spread among those countries, among those people, that many would come to know you, and that many would see miracles, and they would attribute those miracles to you, the Son of God, and that they would come to faith in you and have life in you, in your name. And Lord, we also pray for Prince Albert. It's not hard to see that there are a lot of hurting people in Prince Albert, and maybe sometimes we push it out of our minds and we distract ourselves with all the fancy toys we can buy nowadays, and there's just so many distractions in this world and things we can busy ourselves with. Lord, help us to not be people that look past the hurt and the needs of others. Help us to see it and help us to meet it. And Lord, I thank you for this church, and I personally think that this church does a great job of reaching into the community. Please continue to lead and guide us, lead and guide the leaders and us as individuals to know where we can be your hands and feet in Prince Albert. We ask that you would just draw people to yourself, that you'd meet the needs of others, that you would save souls, Lord. The people that don't know you, the lost, I pray that they would come to know you. And for us who do know you, help us to continually look for those opportunities to share you with others. Thank you for this time that we can pray for these needs, and we ask that you would burden our hearts to continually be praying about these things, continually asking you to show us and open our eyes to the needs of others, that many would come to know you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing our closing song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and let us proclaim that God's faithfulness truly is great.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Thank you.
His faithfulness. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May he show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. If you're not staying for the meeting, we'll have the doors open up right away there so you can go back there and visit. And if you are staying for the meeting, if you don't mind just staying right in here and we'll be getting started really quickly. Thank you for joining us today.